Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Pitch. Swing and a long drive, deep left, way back, gone!
All right, welcome back to another episode of the 90th Percentile. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, Matt Pajak of Loadin' Sports. Matt, I hope you had a great week. This afternoon, I had a solid lunch, solid 50 lunch from New Jersey Michael's. Pretty good. Wow. Good Italian sub, man. You know, Mike's way, Michael's way. Got it all done up. Ready to roll. Now I'm ready to talk about some baseball.
Good for you. Let me tell you that after that last episode with Jonah, where you guys were both hammering pot bellies, I went out and I got it.
What did you think?
You're not going to like this.
Oh, no. He's going to crush it. I'm fine with it. Go for it.
I'm not going to crush it. I thought it was fine. I would probably put it slightly ahead of Jersey Michael's. So it's probably like it's fringe average for me. The milkshake was good, a little bit overpriced. I think the sandwich was good. I got a wreck.
Okay.
And I made sure to get the hot peppers on there. The hot peppers were good, but let me just tell you, Jeff, and I'm going to just keep this very straightforward for the audience. I handle spicy food well. And I like hot food. Like that's something that I do. It was not a pleasant next day. It wasn't. So it was one of those things where it's like, man, like, do I rush back to Potbelly's? Probably not. If it's an opportunity to have it again, I probably do it. Cause it did taste good, but, yeah, it's Capriotti's. Looking Fair. Forward. I don't know. They're diving off the deep end with that chopped cheese. We'll see what happens there. But Capriotti's is still comfortably well ahead of everybody else for me.
All right. I'm a Jersey Michael's fan, so I took that as being a fairly strong endorsement there. You know,
to each their own.
Perhaps
definitely to perhaps. Jeff's.
I always went with, and I think they've changed up a little bit, but I always went with like the turkey sub that they had, where it was like legit, like turkey tips, and then threw the peppers on that sucker.
Listen, I was taking notes on every.
I don't know if they've changed it a little bit. They might.
I was hanging on every word you said when you were describing that sandwich.
I think they might have
scoured the menu. Yeah, I scoured the menu, and there was no, like. Legit turkey option. There was like sliced turkey.
Yeah, this is funny. Yeah. So it was like it was not deli meat. Like
yeah.
The last time I had it. It was like chunks of turkey. Which is what made it good. I mean, I had it a million times. It's just this was all pre-pandemic. They must have downgraded and went to sliced meat post-pandy, you know. So
just saying that's what my experience was. I was bummed because I did. I looked at that menu one time, two times, three times, four. And there wasn't any turkey tips on there. So anyway, what do we got today?
Well, we have another episode of Finding Your Fit. We've had a few of these already. We've covered some different backgrounds. Today we have Stan Tucker, who is a recent draft pick of the Boston Red Sox. I said draft picked. I added a T at the end of that. It's like turnt.
Yeah.
He had an interesting path, you know, was impacted by the pandemic. We're bringing this up a lot. But 2021 played it at Wharton Junior College. Was actually enrolled, you told me this earlier, at New Mexico Junior College, went and played there in 2022, then transferred to Texas A&M University for 2023. Didn't see a ton of at bats, but does end up getting drafted. So kind of interesting. And I guess it's sort of, as you said, off air, finding your fit in pro ball. So we're expanding the vision here.
Yeah, and we're talking about like 2021 Wharton Junior College, raked 405, region, I know my Roman numerals here, region 14 South, MVP, all region, all conference, shortstop, 14 home runs in 44 games. And he goes to New Mexico Junior College in 2022. He is a NJCAA first team All-American, WJCAC conference MVP, 407 batting average, 17 home runs, 37 stolen bases in 58 games. And then, like you mentioned, jumps in that transfer portal, heads to Texas A&M, and he hit 273 this past year in 22 at-bats. So, yeah, finding your fit in pro ball. Very excited to talk to Stanley. I've heard nothing but great things about this guy, and apparently he can ball, and Texas A&M missed the boat on that. So, yeah, let's bring him in here.
No, let's do it. Let's get on Stan Tucker, Boston Red Sox, shortstop, center fielder. Holy tools.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, and we are back with our guest for this week. That is Stanley Tucker, 19th round selection just a few weeks ago by the Boston Red Sox. He's down in complex league ball, down in Fort Myers. I was about to say spring training. I had to catch myself. I think spring training, because that's what I'm down there. But welcome to the show, Stanley. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Just glad to be here. Glad you guys let me on the show today.
We're excited to have you.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we've got a couple of mutual contacts. So I've known about you for a couple of years. Matt Pierce and Mike Robbins at NMJC. So they've all had nothing but great things to say about you. So I was really excited. Yeah, I know Pierce connected us to get you on and kind of talk through your experience. Cause in talking to Pierce regularly over the past 3 or 4 years, I feel like I've, lived your experience through his eyes. So, it's fascinating. I think, part of what we're doing with some of these conversations is kind of, exploring different ways that guys find their fit. And specifically right. On this one, we're talking about you finding your fit in Pro Bowl, you know, and kind of your journey to get to that point. So really excited to get into this conversation. It's kind of a unique story and probably one that's not going to fall on a lot of deaf ears, you know, especially with the track record of success that you had for a couple of years there, working your way through the pandemic. So, but yeah, let's just get it going. I know, you know, you're a Texas guy, you know, from down in Lamar. What were your options out of high school from like a collegiate standpoint? Was there any pro interest? What did all that look like and kind of how did you end up, I guess, committing to NMJC? And then, you know, we can talk about how you ended up at Wharton and all that. But, yeah, let's just talk about your high school experience and coming through that.
Yeah, so my high school experience was pretty unique. You know, you asked me my freshman year of high school. I thought I was a first rounder my first year of high school, you know. but I kind of went through my early years, and I didn't really hear much from Division I schools. Kind of just went under the radar. I went to a lot of camps, played with the South Texas Slider. That's when I did meet Coach Matt, and you know, went through a lot of camps, went through a lot of team camps, and throughout the years, I was a smaller frame guy. I didn't. Get into my sophomore summer, going into my junior year, I received my first offer to play at the Air Force Academy. That was my first Division I college offer, and that was the first collegiate offer I had. And then going into my senior year, by that time I had talked to University of Texas Rio Grande Valley and Abilene Christian University. Those were the other two Division I offers that I had. And then coming into the beginning of that season, Coach Robbins, he actually talked to me about attending JUCO. He's like, hey, you know, we're going to see what you get this end of the summer. But, you know, I want to just extend the offer. And if you decide you want to go JUCO after your senior year, the opportunity is there. And that was just kind of a decision that I made with my family at the end of my junior, senior year. And I just decided to go with it.
Ah, very cool. That's kind of interesting that Air Force was on you. You could have been there with jeans.
That was exactly what right. I was going to say.
Yeah.
let me ask. I know you had, you know, a pretty unusual sort of, you know, setup that first year. Were committed to go to NMJC, you know, end up playing at Wharton. What was that whole experience like? And how much sort of like turmoil, worry, like fear, uncertainty, and doubt, like were you sort of dealing with? I can only imagine at 18, 19 years old, how I would have felt. So I'm interested to hear about that.
So that was a crazy experience, being that senior year was canceled because of COVID. I remember just walking to the field one day and it was done. And then going to NMJC, we went through a lot of COVID regulations, but we still tried to make it work and was still optimistic about the year until our last meeting we had before we went home before the break. And they told us that we probably wouldn't have a season and we wouldn't come back. So I think that was the time when it really just set in, like, okay, what should I do? It was two options. It was either go part-time school and take the year off and then just come back to New Mexico the next year, or try to transfer and kind of just go into a new program in the spring and see where it lies. And that's a time where I really relied on my faith a lot, because it was tough. Because going into Wharton, the decision to go into Wharton was tough because I was going into a brand new program. I didn't have a fall to kind of prove myself. And you know, the coaching staff, they knew me there, but they really just truly didn't know me. And so that decision to go to Wharton was my very first, I would say, test for me to just put my trust in God and just go. and believe in myself and believe in the work that I put in, and it ultimately just was a good decision for me.
I mean, that's just wild that like that opportunity presented itself that late in the game, you know.
Right.
You're talking about like right up until like Christmas break. You know, you thought you were going to have a season at NMJC, and then they're
right,
like,
"Right, actually." Mm-hmm. Right, right. I actually didn't decide to go to Wharton until maybe it was the week of the time they were reporting. So my first day at Wharton with the coaching staff and signing to come and play, they were practicing. So I didn't get out there until after they had came back and started practicing already. So I was a little bit late to the game.
How did that even like set itself up? Like, how did you get it? Like, you had to have had some help, you know, it's that late along. Like, hey, where can I go play?
Right, right.
Like,
so, right. It was a lot of help. A lot of my network and system, a lot of people who I'm just blessed to have in my corner. Actually, Coach Case, I think he's still the athletic director there, but he was the head coach there before, Coach Porras, and he had saw me play in high school. So he kind of already had an idea who I was. He knew who I was. He knew my family. And when he caught wind of the situation of what happened and that I was looking for a place to play, kind of related to Coach Porras, and they actually had a roster spot open up. It was one roster spot, and you know, he offered me the opportunity to come play, and I was like, okay, I'll take it. And I just kind of took that last spot and ran with it.
Some things are just meant to be.
Right, right.
All right, yeah. So I had heard that there was some draft interest in you ahead of the 2022 MLB draft, but you ended up at Texas A&M. Kind of talk me through that decision and kind of what all that looked like for you. Did you consider going pro after your monster year at NMJC? And then, you know, ultimately ended up at Texas A&M. So kind of talk through that, because we've had a couple guys on the pod who have talked about their experience that's been similar, where there might have been some pro interest and they made a decision to hop in the portal and end up at a D1, and mixed bag of experiences. So, yeah, talk us through that one.
Yeah, so coming into my second year at NMJC, that was the first time in my career that I had just professional interest from scouts. It was my first time talking to scouts, first time just truly being on the radar. And basically, after having a good year there, the possibility to go professional was there. But at the time, I didn't really know a lot about the process, what the process looked like, how it all went. And then two, for me, I was still late on the scene. So, well, when I say late, I was still kind of an unknown player. So, and I had been in front of a lot of area scouts and a lot of guys locally, but just to play in front of a lot of cross checkers, or really a lot of in front of the staff that truly makes the decisions or try to get into the eyes of many of those scouts, I still wasn't on the scene. So I started, I reached out to some people and ended up, you know, just getting some help with the process. And the further along that we got in it, we were like, okay, this is maybe where I stand. This is maybe where I should be thinking about. And then the opportunity came to play at Texas A&M, in which as a young kid, ever since I was young, my dream was to play in the SEC. I always talked about playing in the SEC and then going to play pro ball. So that dream as a young kid kind of resonating in me and being a driving factor to me, like, okay, I know that professional is there, but also I know what my dream of playing the SEC was. So it was a process going into that draft. And, you know, I just kind of, the decision that I made, I was happy with it at the time that I decided to go to Texas A&M.
Yeah. Every night before you put your head on that pillow, you're having these visions of young Tuck dancing in the bubbles at Blue Bell Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wanted to sort of follow up a little bit there too. You know, you've had this experience, you've been to a few JUCOs, obviously had to sort of, you know, make some switches. You've been, you know, played at three different places over the first 3 years. But you also were sort of there on the precipice of some major changes within the college baseball landscape, and pro ball too. You know, in terms of like consolidation on the pro side, in terms of teams, levels, amount of available jobs, but certainly NIL, the way the transfer portal is now, 20-round draft, a lot more NDFAs than there used to be. So there's all these different sort of things that are out there. What sort of advice, like, would you have for, we'll say, somebody that's following a similar path to you, going from a JUCO to a Power Five that also has pro interest? Like,
yeah, so the advice I can give to someone, just really just believe in yourself, no matter what. Always bet on yourself. The work that you put in, it does not go unnoticed. In a time where you may feel like this person is getting more in NIL or this person is getting more recognition, the transfer portal, oh, well, this team may be looking at this guy in a transfer portal. It's just so much for a young player to try to digest, and especially in my time, I've seen all facets of it. It's so easy to venture out and try to want this, want that, want that. I say just stay true to yourself, believe in your work, and really just have a true set goals that you want to reach. Because that's the biggest thing. When you have so many avenues to venture off, if you don't have a set goal in mind or set or what you want to accomplish, you can just get off track, or you can want to go do this or want to go that. Have your set goal, have your set plan, believe in yourself, and bet on yourself. Because at the end of the day, your career is what you make of it. And they always say, you are the CEO of your own career. Yes, there's a lot of outside factors that's going to help you gain and help you go accomplish your goals. But at the end of the day, you're the CEO of your own career. So what you put into your career is what you're going to get out of it. And I say just believe in yourself throughout the entire process.
Yeah, I guess my question, kind of piggybacking off of that, is like, how aware are you as a player? Because I'm sure everything's moving so much faster for you than it is for us as outside observers. Like, how aware are you of the changing landscape in like professional baseball? Like, we had minor league consolidation a couple of years ago. There's less seats on the bus, and like, it's only continuing to go more and more in that direction. Now, on the positive end of the spectrum, because you have less minor league players, they're going to be unionized starting next year. You're going to get a salary, and minor league players are going to have a much better lifestyle than, you know, it's been for as long as people can remember. So how do you educate yourself on those types of things, and how do those types of things factor into your decision-making? Because, you know, I think you come into professional baseball right now and you're living a completely different experience than guys did 5 years ago.
Yes, yes. I'm still, honestly, still learning every single day. I talk with people, some old friends I know that drafted in years before, and minor league baseball looks totally different than it did years before. You know, they treat us well. It's more, I would say, the competitiveness, the competitive nature is there. But making a decision early, it varies player to player. And for me saying that, oh, maybe I wish I would have gotten into pro ball earlier or later, like, everybody's time is different, and being in the system and getting in, development is key, no matter how old you are. I would say for me now in the system that we're in, I'm blessed to be a part of this system that I'm in, because Boston is really dedicated to the development of their minor leaguers. So they treat us well. The systems that we go through, the plan, the individualized plans that we all have, it's to make you better as a person, make you better at just to get the most out of you as a player. And you get that from the college side and the professional baseball side as well. So now when you look at minor league baseball and what it is now. Yes, it's more competitive because they're investing more into the players, but at the same time, they're still trying your hardest to get the best out of you. So that decision going to a pro ball, it varies player to player, but I say getting into the system early, it is important, but it's not the end of the world the later you wait.
Awesome. Absolutely. I was going to ask sort of follow up on that too. We'll say, you know, you've been in a few different environments now. What was like the biggest like aha moment from a development standpoint, facility standpoint, like, you know, information maybe that are being provided coaching wise, just all that stuff that feeds into it between like your JUCO experience and then Texas A&M and then maybe your initial impressions here with Boston. I know you haven't been there all that long, but seeing certain things available, food, I mean, whatever it might be, nutrition, obviously, you know, top notch organizations the last couple you've been with.
Right. So, in junior college, New Mexico Junior College, specifically, that place was amazing, especially on the junior college side. The facilities were top notch for junior college, and the coaching staff there, I learned so much from Lardo Felix and Coach Mike Robbins. A lot of the pivotal information I learned there kind of is carried to me and still in my game today. And so taking that to Texas A&M, where the facilities were, you know, a little bit better and nutrition is better, it was a step up. It was like, okay, but at the same time, it was still the same game. It was still baseball. But you're learning different things. So say, how can I better take care of my body? Oh, now we're going to get more on the mental side of baseball, routines, learning more about yourself to where when you get to the level that I am now, coming into pro ball, the biggest thing that I've seen so far in all of the facilities and all the development and all the staff that's available, it's how do you want to use it or how do this help you individually? So it's that role for me coming in and learning myself, learning what I need to be successful, because everybody's not on the same plan. Everybody's not on the same, I would say, program. Everyone does what's tailored to them to be successful. And so my road learning that from junior college all the way to pro has just taught me how to make use of what I got and how to fully get the most out of the facilities and the options that's given to me. It was a step up from each level. But at the end of the day, the game is still baseball. I can say, like I said, being in Fort Myers and being with Boston and everything that we're learning, everything that they're putting us through so far, it's a step up above in each level.
Yeah, I'm going to go off the cuff here a little bit. I got a question for you that just popped into my head. And I know that you're a little bit smaller in stature, and that's probably been the case at every level that you've played at. I know you're not lacking in athleticism. I'm very aware of the type of athlete that you are, right? You hit 14 home runs at Wharton, correct?
13.
Texas A&M. Yes. 13 home runs at Wharton and then 17 as a follow-up the next year at New Mexico Junior College. Yes. Talk to me a little bit about, especially as a smaller guy, and there's plenty of smaller guys out there that probably need to, you know, hear this perspective. At different levels, right? So let's talk about like high school. Let's talk about travel ball in high school. Let's talk about, you know, playing for different coaches at different levels of college baseball. How has your approach at the plate changed? Because obviously there's power there. If you're putting the ball over the fence for those 2 years of college baseball and, you know, what's your current approach at the plate? Knowing that there's power in a smaller frame.
Right. So early on, I learned what pitch was best for me, what pitch I did the most damage to. I knew what area on the plate that I did damage to. And so in my first year of junior college, I know I was still learning myself, and then I started putting up a couple balls over the wall, and I was like, okay, I'm getting stronger now. Now let's dive into the approach, what's going on. And that's when I formed the approach of, okay, I don't want to be late for the fastball. I want to be on time for the fastball every time, especially a fastball for me, specifically middle in. I like the middle in fastball because a lot of my home runs I hit are to left field. I just got really good at pulling the ball in the air. And being here, that's one thing that we talk about a lot now. And my frame and my stature, a lot of my slugging percentage, a lot of my slugs and extra base hits are going to be from when I pull the ball in the air. And that's when I get my highest exit velocities. That's when I get my hardest contact. But then also going to in a program like Texas A&M, where I really learned how to also get the pitch, the tougher pitches to hit, or maybe the pitches on the outside part of the plate or in different situations, being able to go to right field with it, stay low and hit a line drive to right field, or work up the middle more. A lot of my power personally plays the left field, pulling the ball in the air. But then as you get older and to different areas of the game, they start pitching you differently. You really have to tone into your approach. So the approach now is still the same. Be on time for the fastball. Don't miss the fastball, and adjust to pretty much what could come up each pitcher. But I want to be on time for the fastball so I can pull the ball in the air, and that's going to give me the most success.
Yeah, I think it's really easy, and I see it all the time because I'm around, you know, high school guys. For the smaller guys, it's just like, hey, like line drives, hit the ball on the ground. And I don't know. I was just kind of curious. You know, you seem to have a really good understanding of what you do well at the plate, what you're looking for,
right,
and how to tap into your power. But I feel like there's a lot of guys out there, especially the younger guys that are smaller, that just kind of like, oh, like they're telling me to hit the ball on the ground. They're telling me to, you know, hit line drives, and like, they don't even try and tap into their power. It's there.
Right. You know?
Yeah. I hope you continue to tap into that power, and one day you're
oh yeah, you know, pull up to the field, see the monster. It's fun to look at it and be like, okay, I wanna attack them out. What we say, we feed the monster in our development system and everything. They like to say, feed the monster. So we're gonna feed the monster.
Oh, let's go.
That's beautiful. And we're both Massachusetts guys, so yeah, we appreciate that. I wanted to sort of, you know, jump in a little bit to your season at Texas A&M. Congratulations, obviously, 19th round pick. It's a big deal. Only 22 at bats though this year at Texas A&M. Do you get that opportunity to play SEC ball, as you said, which was always a dream of yours? Did you consider going back at all? Did you have anything else lined up? Like, what does that process sort of look like for you?
Yeah, so when the season ended, of course, I had some success in the year. Kind of some things lined up to where it was just a tough situation going in the depth chart, but I'm still able to get in and produce when and got opportunities. But season ended, and kind of just sat and had a talk with our coaching staff, and it was a mutual agreement to kind of just to see what was out there, see what the best fit for me was. So I entered the portal right after the season, just to see any other opportunities that were out there that would come up that would be really, like I said, a best fit for me. And then the opportunity to come back was still open. I was just venturing to open to new opportunities. Wanted to go play in the summer. I went and played for the summer in a month in the draft league, and I just really wanted to open up my options to see what would happen, or what places would look like, what it would look like after the draft.
Yeah, and it kind of bleeds into this next question. Like, you're 21 years old. You just turned 21. So happy belated birthday. Yeah. there's this thing from, like, again, people who observe the game and people who are pretty in tune with, like, the draft and everything that's going on. We talked about it before, minor league consolidation, less seats on the bus. And then it's no secret that, like, in most teams' draft models, like, age is important, right? Like, they'd rather take a guy who's younger versus a guy who's older. And because of all of the different things that have happened in the past couple of years that has changed the college space, there's way more guys in college baseball right now. There's more guys on rosters. And there's also a lot more, like, older guys, right? 22, 23-year-olds that are regulars in lineups. So I guess all of that to say, like, you just turned 21, which is, like, a perfect age to enter pro ball, where you're not considered too old. You know, was that part of the consideration to draft and sign? Was, hey, I'm going to get into pro ball with at 21, and, like, I've got plenty of development runway in front of me, as opposed to, like, all right, let's see what next year brings, and, you know, hopefully, you know, things go according to plan, and then I'm 22 and I better put up monster numbers like I've already done twice. Otherwise, you know, like, there's, again, there's a player that we talked to a couple pod episodes ago, and you can go back and look at it. And, like, he did 3 years at junior college at McLennan, jumped to Oklahoma State, didn't play a whole lot there, jumped in the portal, went to Austin Peay, put up monster numbers, and then this draft cycle, he was 23 years old. He ended up signing as an undrafted free agent. But yeah, you know, just kind of talk about that a little bit, because it's undoubtedly something that you're seeing. You saw it at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. You're seeing it in every dugout, those older guys in the dugout. How did your age, I guess, factor into your decision to make that jump into pro ball as opposed to, you know, either returning to A&M or exploring another opportunity?
Yeah, of course, I really wanted to be in professional baseball this year because it was my draft, quote unquote, draft year, you know, my junior year of college. And this is the ideal time. A lot of people, this is the ideal time you sign. So, of course, the goal was I wanted to be in professional baseball this year. I don't feel like it would have been the end of the world if I would have went back, because, you know, go back and you have to see that everybody's role is different. But that relief of signing when I was 21, the year, my draft year, it was a big relief because that was the plan coming into this year. That was the plan on going to Texas A&M, was to the following year sign, you know. So I wanted to sign this year, but that didn't take away from any decision on going back and playing another year. I kind of had both options weighed out. There was some good on both sides. There was some bad on both sides. But the relief of signing this year, it was a big relief for me, being that, you know, college baseball is getting really old, especially with the transfer portal and, of course, COVID. But I'm really just blessed that I was given the opportunity, being that I didn't have that much the previous year. I was still given this opportunity to play professional ball this year.
Yeah, well, I'll just say, you know, from my perspective, I'm a fan of the decision that you made, because I do think that, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that get an opportunity to potentially go play pro ball, whether it's out of high school or after your JUCO, or, you know, after their junior of college at a D1, whatever it is, they're 21. And they, you know, they think that, okay, well, let me do one more year and, yeah, I'm going to improve my draft stock. And I think that was probably the case pre-2020. And now it's like a little bit like playing with fire. So very excited, you know, that you signed the dotted line and now you get to go have your opportunity. And, like, you know, you talked about it before, like, that belief in yourself, like, you know. That's it. Like, if you believe in yourself and you go out there and you execute in pro ball, like, nobody remembers the signing bonus, you know, like,
That's the most important thing.
They're a lot bigger
at this level. Now at this stage, everybody has to earn it, you know? And, once you get at this level, we're all focused on the same goal. We're all trying to work to get to the same goal, and sign a bonus is out of the window. I haven't even talked about signing bonuses with any of the new guys who came in. We're all focused on getting better development every single day. And it's a grind once you get to this side.
That's it. Well, sure. I got one more question for you, and then if Jeff has anything, then I'll let Jeff finish it off. But
go ahead, man.
Stanley Tucker, is the seat feeling hot for you right now?
Is the seat feeling hot for me right now?
Yeah, this is a big question right here.
Okay, I'm ready.
I've been tipped off that this question isn't the easiest one for you to answer. If I'm putting you on a ball field right now,
okay,
what position is Stanley Tucker?
Oh, that's kind of a tough sit question. I'd give you a little. When I got drafted, my draft card signed in and said utility. When I showed up in Boston to do my – well, when I showed up in Fort Myers to do my physical, they gave me my paperwork and everything, it said infield. So I was like, okay, coming in as an infielder. The first schedule was sent out for working out and doing things. I was in outfield. So I was in both – so I've been bouncing around from everywhere. But right now, I would say if Stanley Tucker would step on the field right now, it would be center field. I've been working with outfielders right now. I've been bouncing around with the outfield. But the other day, I jumped in and did some things with the infielders. So, you know, it's still there. I like to keep it open. I like to play everywhere. But I think I have an answer right now. Right now, it's center field. But who knows? You might look up tomorrow, and I'll be in it at shortstop. But, you know, who knows?
Hey, checking my Twitter feed yesterday, they traded Kike Hernandez, so they need that super utility guy that can play shortstop.
Yeah, and they got Sedane Raphael in the system who plays shortstop and center field too. So it's not foreign. It's not foreign to that Red Sox organization. You know, I hope they keep you flexible. You know, you want to be able to play. That versatility is important, man. You know, might get you that call a little bit sooner. You never know.
Right. I was happy to walk into the locker room the other day and had two gloves in my locker. As I was like, okay, it's still open. It's still open. We're still working with two. So, yeah, it's open.
There you go. Common denominator on center field, shortstop, second base. They're all up the middle, and they're all premium positions. So, if you can defend one of them, you can defend two of them, you defend three of them, and you're only stacking that value.
That's usually my answer. I just say I play up the middle.
Exactly.
There you go. Perfect.
All right, let's Stanley Tucker. I want to thank you for joining us here on the 90th percentile. For Jeff Ponce, for Matt Pajak. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, go hop in a pool or something.
T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.